And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the mightier 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, a busy place right here next to the San Diego Landings in Port Loma this morning. Captain Ryan Bostian, Mr. Yellowtail from the San Diego, is here with us today sharing some really good insights and some fun things to talk about here as the season progresses.
Oh, man, this has been great. Yeah, lots of great info, and we're looking forward to another full hour of your phone calls. Give us a call this morning at 213-432-1090. Not only is that your opportunity to talk to Captain Ryan, but also an opportunity to go fishing, and we have sweetened the pot today. So not one, but two opportunities to go fishing on board the San Diego for one lucky caller at the end of the show today. You're going to win two passes so you and your bud can get to go fishing with Captain Ryan and Captain Brawla and go fishing
that?
On the San Diego.
Two passes on the San Diego.
Yeah, really, really cool
for
prize.
One lucky caller.
Yep, yeah, awesome.
That's pretty awesome, yeah. And we have some great texts coming through. One from, this is a good one here. Good morning, gentlemen. Question for Captain Ryan. Should an angler look for when picking out the right surface iron? Color, style, etc.? And that's from Ryan in Irvine, a fellow Tocayo.
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question as far as what to look for when picking out a surface iron. There are a lot of different theories out there. Nowadays, I know Rick will probably have a lot of good information on this. I used to think I had it figured out what to look for, but then my theories all got blown out of the water because I'll get a good jig that doesn't have
any of those
that I was looking for, and it still swims and works great. So, I look for I talk to the guys in the shop, first of all, and usually just go on their advice. I look for something. I like a wide surface iron, something that's not very aerodynamic in the water or hydrodynamic, something that's going to create resistance. That way it'll kick, you know, more. I really like those JRI stingers. I think those are great lures.
Okay.
They're consistent. That's pretty much all I use these days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a good size. You know, it's not super big. It's a good profile, but it still casts real well.
Right. Yeah. It's been a perfect size lure for the grade of yellowtail that's been around the last few years. You know, the yellowtail, there's been a lot of like 9 to 14 pound yellowtail around. And Rick's right. It's not a real big lure, but it's not small either. You can still cast it. It's a real good size. So,
nice. All right. That's good. And any color in particular?
I stick with the neutral, you know, greens and blues, all the traditional colors.
Blue and white, scrambled egg, mint
is a real good color.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about yo-yo? You've seen a lot of yo-yo fish here lately. What's the hot setup for yo-yo?
Yo-yo fishing, I break it down into either the junior size yo-yo jigs or the full size yo-yo jigs.
So you're talking about like 6X junior versus full size 6X.
Right. I base everything around the Solace 6X line. You know, there's a lot of different yo-yo jigs out there, but I grew up with, I can remember being like 8 years old in the garage with my dad, and he showed me a blue and white 6X junior, and he told me there's been more fish caught on this lure than anything else. And that I still remember it. Yeah, and he's right. It's just been a 6X junior is an amazing product. I think it's when we are deciding whether or not to use the junior size or the full size, it really comes down to what depth of water are we fishing. Are we fishing in the middle of winter and the yellowtail are on the bottom in 300 feet of water? A 6X junior flutters too much and is not going to get down there as fast as like a Tatty 4.0 or a full-size 6X. That's when we use the full-size jigs. When we start fishing in like 150 feet or less, that's when we want that fluttering action. Like right now, the yellowtail, they're boiling on our chum. So they're willing to come all the way to the surface. Those 6X juniors and the smaller yo-yo jigs, they get more bites because of that fluttering action.
Okay.
A lot of times guys start winding when their jig is only down 30 feet, you know, and they get bites.
Okay.
So,
all right.
It really comes down to what depth of water we're fishing.
All right. And you kind of, when you're on a spot, you say the fish are at 150, the fish are at 100, the fish
yeah.
at 300, you'll let the anglers know.
Yeah, and we usually know, like, roughly where we're going to be fishing based on what we saw the day before. When we first started fishing this year, all the yellowtail we saw were in 200-plus feet of water, and they were down on the bottom. That was mm-hmm. when the water was 57 degrees, and they were, you know, big-time sluggish winter mode. And so we were using the full-size jigs. Now, as the water's starting to creep up, they're starting to get in shallower water, and we're starting to use the junior-size yo-yo jigs. Yeah.
All right.
That's good dope, man.
Good
yeah.
stuff.
Great.
Yeah. yeah. All right, let's jump back in the phone.
You got it. Let's talk to Josh. Josh is calling us from Menifee this morning. Good morning, Josh. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Taking my
call.
So got
you there, Josh?
Hey, Josh.
Yep. Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions for Captain Ryan. Captain Ryan has mentioned on his social media a few weeks ago that this year's yellowtail are some of the most challenging he has tried to capture in a long time. I was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit more on why he thinks that is, why they're so reluctant to bite. Also, if he had to give one single most important advice for an angler coming on his boat to be successful, what would that be? Thank you.
Great questions. I have mentioned that a couple different times on my social media, that this particular body of yellowtail is the most challenging that I have personally ever fished for. And yesterday was a perfect example of that. They just are. They're really hard to keep track of. The day before yesterday, we saw really good sign of fish in the afternoon. You know, we were stopping on schools. The Grande was stopping on schools. The next morning, not 12 hours later, we drive down there, and neither of us can't find a single fish anywhere, all through the same area. And that, based on what we saw the day before, that shouldn't happen. And that has happened time and time and time again this year. They've just been really hard to keep track of. And then they're doing this thing where they just don't bite at all at times, where they're acting like
they're seeing them, but they're...
Yeah, yesterday we stopped on the school outside South Island. It was huge. It was easily 400 fish, if I had to guess. We didn't get a single boil, a single bite. They swam around the boat like they were sleeping. Yeah, really, really
just
bizarre.
Something to do maybe with the bait, that there's so much bait in the water right now?
Yeah, something. But then, you know, if you're there on the right day, like Matt had a 100-fish day, or I think he had 100-fish day this spring, but then the following day is like next to nothing. It's just been really inconsistent. Yeah, I think it just comes down to we're still in that transition period. Springtime, the one thing Matt and I always talk to each other about is we try to set the reset button every morning. You know, we can't fish on yesterday's information. We have to fish on
different
the information that we are getting right now. And that's a hard thing for a lot of guys to do.
Oh, yeah, sure. Especially when you're out there every day like you
are. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes being out there the day before is a big advantage. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like, well, I know where they were yesterday.
Yeah, right.
And so it keeps you from, going other places. And you just got to fish the current conditions and try to stay in the moment. So
all right. And then the second question?
What was the second question again?
Single biggest thing a passenger could do to set himself up for success.
Yes. Talk to the crew. Kind of along the same lines is stay in the moment. You know, don't hop on the boat and try to do what you did on your last trip, which might have been 3 months earlier, and a lot has changed since then. Talk to the crew and take the crew's advice no matter how often you fish. You know, I do it all the time. You know,
yeah.
I go down to El Salto and I talk to the guides, and I want to pick their brain because they know way more than I do. And so talk to the crew, listen to the crew, and keep an open mind. We're all still learning.
You've said things on here before that I always liked about, like, chasing chasing what some other guy is doing and then switching to somebody else and then changing back again and then not doing this. And, you know, three fish got hooked on a yo-yo, so I'm going to put that up. And then somebody hooked one on a fly line. Well, I'm going to go fly line fish now. And
I
then
see it three, every
you know,
day.
You've mentioned that a few times, and I've always thought that was a good call.
Yeah, I see it every day. Or there'll be a really good fisherman on the boat, and I notice throughout the day he's constantly at his tackle box changing something, you know, because he sees a guy hook one on a surface iron. He's going to go tie on a surface iron. He sees two get hooked on bait. He's going to go flyline bait. He sees two hooked on yo-yo. He's going to go yo-yo. He spends his whole time just not fishing, basically, changing stuff. Fish your strengths. Fish what you're comfortable fishing. There's times where it's blatantly obvious that, hey, we all need to be yo-yo fishing. But lately, we've been catching them a little bit on everything, you know, yo-yo, fly line, surface iron, and you know, fish your strengths and just stick with what you are comfortable with, and that's a great piece of advice.
All right, hey, great, thanks a lot for the phone call. Good questions.
Yeah, hey, with that, we're gonna find out what's going on the water right now. It's time for your FishDope.com report, sponsored by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing. A complete saltwater tackle shop. They have a full deli, Mexican and California licenses, trips and six-pack charters, and when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle. They are full of all the freshwater tackle and live bait that you need for a great day in the lake. Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld, next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. And East County Bait and Tackle, they're at the end of the 67 Freeway at Mapleview and Lakeside. Check DanaLanding.com. And let's talk to the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, is on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Rick, Ryan, Pete. Dave, I got a lot to talk. There's a lot going on, so we got a lot to talk about. I'll be quick, though. Ryan, my hero, you guys don't understand. Ryan, like he says, he's out every single day, but he drags 20 boats with him all day everywhere he goes, and he still catches fish, gang. You don't understand what that's like. You guys can't even comprehend for a split second what it's like. And the guys, I don't know, you're hail, hail, Ryan. I don't know, man. It's pretty unbelievable to see your fish count. See your fish counts day in and day out, my man. You are the man. That is absolutely unbelievable. I would probably have a massive heart attack. My blood pressure would go off the roof. I am kind of vocal, and it would be horrible for me to do that. But
no kidding.
Really?
I would never put that on you. Yeah, never once would I put that on you.
Yeah. The PA would be on fire. Oh, Lord. But, gang, there's what's going on. The Carnage, Long Beach Carnage, they have their other boat, the Pacific Carnage. They went to Catalina. They caught bait. So there was squid to be had. It was the easiest way to get squid, like Rick always said. It's so easy to catch squid with money. You just pull up.
Best way to get it.
Hand them some money, and they're filling up everybody's bait tanks with squid. Plus, they had squid at the bait barge in Long Beach, gang. That was phenomenal, especially for my private boat guys that go out every day. They're trying to figure out how to catch the bait, and it's been tough. But the Carnage had bait. A lot of my clients went to Catalina, and there was a handful of nicer halibut caught on those beaches on the backside, and there was two sea bass for my clients that I know of that were caught on the backside. All day fishing, though, it's nothing wide open by any stretch of the imagination, but just having that bait in the bait tank makes all the difference in the world. And the Carnage says they're going to keep trying to go out every week, so hopefully every weekend they'll have bait for us during the springtime. That's a big deal. So that squid's a big deal. And then, like Brian Woolley was saying, the water along the coast is starting to perk up. Things are starting to happen. The calico bass fishing's going to only get better. They're with the influx of anchovies that we have going on. And then, I don't know if you guys saw what happened. I know Mark Wish mentioned it a little bit yesterday, but my good friend Mike on the Western Pride, Dave, on Friday had three Cedros-style yellowtail on the half-day boat out of Newport. These fish up to 43 pounds or 44 pounds or something. He had three fish. They were all monsters. The next day, he said it looked like the San Diego was up there. There was probably 75 Parkers driving around. He said it was unbelievable, the amount of boats. But that's what happens when you catch a couple fish. Everybody wants to go. So there was a lot of boats out there on that ground yesterday. They didn't find that fish, but that doesn't mean it didn't go anywhere. It's probably still hanging out in that area. And then look at what's going on down below the border, like Ryan was saying. That fish is on its way. He saw a little sign. We got beautiful weather, everything, the table's set. If you don't make a reservation to go sport fishing in the next few days for the next couple weeks, you're probably not going to get on a boat because everybody's ready to go fishing. The fish are going to bite, and the weather is bitching, so go fishing.
There you go. I like
the
it.
Report.
Yeah, for sure. And fishup.com, of course, all the sources. I mean, Danny and Jeff and the boys have been doing such a phenomenal job keeping people abreast of what's going on the water from San Clemente to Catalina to the offshore off of San Diego. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, or lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. And how do we find you?
Gang, I got a really bitchin' website. It's yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I have over 400 how-to videos to catch fish in Southern California, so you do not have to follow the San Diego around unless you're into watching Ryan catch fish, and a lot of people are into that because I see it all the time.
Yeah.
If you want to watch it. But you know what? You can watch him catch fish on his videos on Instagram or YouTube. Instead of spending a bunch of fuel and following him, you can just watch him there. You don't even have to leave the dock.
Well, it's great.
Sorry.
Your videos are awesome, Dave, and we sure appreciate that. And looking forward to another great report next Sunday.
Absolutely. And you won't even believe where I'm at right now. We are leaving the harbor. I'm driving by the arch. I'm just about to crank this little boat up to 35 knots. We're going to go find some yellowfin on the dolphin today, but my boys are all waiting anxiously for me to get done talking so we can haul ass.
All right, go get them, Dave. Good luck. Of course, Dave lives down in Cabo, for those of you who don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
nice.
That's where the arch he's talking about. So okay. That's the yellowfin. Good luck, Dave. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next
Bye,
week.
Bye, guys. See ya.
Right. Good luck. That's awesome. Hey, that catch report today is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your trip when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, but now with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerkied fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, their famous tuna burger, and that amazing hokey kit. They're all available now, and check out their brand new location in Old Town on Taylor Street. It is open. They are cutting fish right now. We're so stoked. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phones, Ricky.
Sam and Irvine is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I go out on the San Diego every year, a couple times at least. Great boat. I always learn something, even from the cook. The cook's an awesome fisherman. But the question I have is, I heard all the jig talk and stuff, but what would you do to imitate that red crab if you were throwing jigs? Just red color heavy jig, or is there another lures out there that you might throw?
Yeah, no, that's been a popular color the last few years, especially down at Colnett. I know, talking to Gavin on the Pacific Queen, he had days where the whole entire boat had a red jig tied on.
Wow.
I wonder what color they bit that day.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's honestly, I'm not a big fan of the red jigs. That's not saying it doesn't work. I've seen it work. I just like the scrambled eggs and blue and whites and greens, and like, you know, Rick said, I wonder what color they bit. A lot of times they bite the color that everyone's using, you know, so imitating the red crab. I don't really want to imitate something that there's millions of down there. I want to put something down there that might be a little bit different, you know. So if my lure comes flying through a cloud of red crabs, and I don't really want it to blend in with all the red crabs. I want it to look a little bit different and make the fish mad.
There you go. All right. Good one. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. I have a good text here. And he violated two big rules on our text, okay? Number one, he didn't put his name, okay? And number two, it's way too long. However, the content is good.
You're
it's good. I'm
going
to kind of synopsis a little bit here because he said he's been trying to get through on the phones this morning. They've been packed.
Yeah, it's been solid.
Hard to get through. And he fished with Captain Ryan yesterday on the boat, and you did a setup for a long rock cod drift. And he wants to know, how do you set up for a rock cod fishing drift?
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Fishing rock cod is really hard. It's not as easy as it might look on the surface. I was talking to some passengers yesterday up on the bow while we were drifting, and they were asking me about red rock cod. And red rock cod are very, very, very aggressive, but they're only aggressive in like a 3-foot radius of their mouth.
So, you got to get on them.
You have to get on them. You need to. If you drop it right in front of them, they'll eat just about anything.
Yeah.
But you need to put it right in their face. And how do we set up on the San Diego? We've been fortunate where the modern-day electronics have allowed us to put a lot of the ridges and spots on our plotter over the years. And we try to figure out the wind and the current, which way the boat's going to drift. I like to drift for rock cod rather than anchor down there because the way the structure is at the islands, it kind of sets up for drifting. Certain spots set up better for anchoring if you're in an area where you feel like you want to sit still and kind of gather some fish around you. That's where we would anchor for rockfish. Since red rock cod are so aggressive, I want to constantly be presenting our hooks and baits to new fish. You know, we'll get on a ridge and drift the ridge. And so every time a passenger comes up, gets a new bait, drops back down, they're fishing a completely different ocean than mm-hmm. just their last drop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and it just stays fresh, you know, keep them on fresh bottom.
Are there drifts that are too fast, like too much wind, too much current, is it that you're just not getting them?
Yeah, it gets to a point to where, I mean, the fish are still behaving the same. They're still down there, and they're probably even more active and more easily able to catch them. Unfortunately, because the drift is so fast, we can't really access them. You know, our lines are way up off the bottom, and we're just not fishing very efficiently at that point.
So then what?
Then it's put a bigger sinker on. If that still doesn't work, then that's when we need to start thinking about anchoring.
Anchoring, okay. Yeah. So you're hitting these same spots, and it happens to me. One day they're there, and the next day they're not. Same spot, really good. The fish move around a lot, right? Especially the vermilions.
The vermilions, which is really what we're targeting, they move around a lot, and they're constantly changing kind of what depth they're in. Lately, we've been fishing in like 35 to 45 fathoms, but just a month ago, you couldn't even get a bite in that depth.
Really?
Really weird, red rock cod are intriguing to me.
Yeah.
They move around a lot. You know, some days they're there, some days they're not. Some days they're there, but they're just not biting. They're really
funny critters.
They're a challenge. Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah. And you said once you get into the zone, any bait, is there a particular bait that you use for cod?
We use frozen squid a lot on the San Diego. Okay. We always have squid available, cut up mackerel. You know, they'll eat just about anything that you put in front of them.
Yeah.
You just want to make sure they can't, like, shake it off your hook, you know.
Yeah.
You want something that's on there real good.
I really enjoy catching vermilions and red rock cod, man. They pull and they're aggressive and
if we could catch those things in 20 feet of water, they would just kick a calico bass butt all day long. They're so aggressive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that fishing up on Morro Bay and north of that what I did with Harold up there. You're fishing like 100 feet, 80 feet, and there's big reds in there. That's
so
fun.
They're a great fish.
It's really
great
fun.
Fish.
Yeah.
Well, we had another great text come through. This one says, "Hey guys, can you ask the skipper if he likes has an opinion on those easy change out clips like the ones from P-Line and Owner and more? Some are using to connect line to surface iron, and also do you like to vary your retrieve speed?" That was from Phil Castro.
Yeah, I've seen those clips a little bit. You probably know more. Rick would probably know more about them than I do. I personally don't use them. I think less is more when it comes to a lot of stuff like that. I don't want to add another thing to the equation. But then again, I don't know much about them. I don't know. Really,
I feel the same. I just don't. Okay. I don't think it's ever difficult to tie another knot.
I'm the same way. I have them in my box, but I never use them. It's just like tie it on.
Right. Yeah.
But a lot of guys love them.
I don't like them. I joked with a guy in the tackle store that, you know, because he said, "Oh, it's so much faster and it's so much easier." And I said, "Well, you could build that same case for Velcro on your shoes, but like deep down, you know, it's not the right way to do it, man. Like you know, you're not doing it right. Like you can tell me it's faster all you want, but that's
not okay.
That's not okay."
Well, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it. How about we talk to Jonathan from Chula Vista up next on Let's Talk Hookup? What's up, Jonathan? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you guys are doing well. I've actually been in the shop, talked to Ricky about this, but this is for Captain Ryan. I seen on your Instagram post, you comment on bait casters. So if somebody's fishing, let's say, Shimano line, you got a Trenx 500, a Trinidad, 16, 20, and a 30. What is your go-to reel for yo-yoing?
That's one of the things that's been happening lately is, the Trenxes, the level wind reels, they're great reels, but for specific applications. And yo-yo fishing is not one of them. With yo-yo fishing, you need a big spool. You need that spool diameter. And so I would use, I always use a Trinidad 20 or 30 for yo-yo fishing around
fast
that.
Fast retrieve.
Fast retrieve, yeah. Or a Trinidad 40 or, something similar, Baja Special, something with a big
that
spool.
That new reel that you were talking about, the new jigger from Shimano.
Yeah, the OSHA 4,000 jigger. Yeah.
4,000 jigger, OSHA 4,000 jigger. That's the ideal. That's made for that, right?
Oh, it's a really nice yo-yo reel. Yeah.
Do you have those in stock?
We do have a couple right now. Like a lot of new and cool stuff, they come and they go real fast. As of this second right now, we got a couple of them. That thing is That's cool. I mean, for lack of a better description, it's like a Trinidad 40 narrow, in the A version, silver, cool. It comes with a handle that makes a lot of sense for probably how they fish knife jig somewhere else, but the handle that it comes with is, it's kind of funky for what we do, but you can easily swap out to a standard. Like, we sell one in the case that's just got a regular Shimano, the same style handle that we're all used to fishing, but that's a cool yo-yo jig reel.
That's made for that.
Yeah. We got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information, more catch reports. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank DePresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
There are There are plenty of boat slips and marinas in San Diego, but there's only one Kona Kai. It's not just a place to park your boat. It's a way of life here in America's finest city. The Kona Kai Resort Spa and Marina has multiple swimming pools and a private beach, waterfront restaurants, and award-winning spa, most of which is included for marina tenants. Check ResortKonaKai.com for more information. The Kona Kai Resort. Much more than just a place to park your boat.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Captain Ryan Boston from the San Diego phone lines have been packed up all morning. If you want to get your shot to get through, give us a call at 213-432-1090. Not only are we talking fishing, talking great information, also one lucky caller at the end of today's show is going to get to go fishing, and they're going to get to take a buddy because we're giving away two passes to go fishing on board the San Diego at the end of the show today.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be great, and just so much fun talking to Captain Ryan and anticipating this incredible yellowtail bite that's going to happen at any moment at the Coronado Islands. It could happen, like, tomorrow, right?
I hope it happens today.
Yeah,
today.
Matt's catching him right now.
Matt running the boat today?
He is. He's out there right now.
All right. Matt Brawler, who's just your main guy, your second ticket, amazing guy.
You're very good captain.
Yeah.
Very, very good fisherman. Fishes all around the city. He's been to El Salto with us.
Yeah.
He's constantly fishing. On his days off, he's on the Shogun, day and a half fishing, and just loves to fish.
Yeah, that's what it's all. It's in his blood. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and jump on the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. Well, they're packed up. The next one we're going to talk to is Rich. He's calling us from Camarillo this morning. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Morning, everyone. I've got a question for Captain Ryan. When fishing surface iron versus yo-yo, will a 40-pound outfit, the same outfit, do for both?
The line will definitely work for both. 40-pound mono is definitely the right line to use. The rod for surface iron is going to be different than the rod for yo-yo fishing, unless, you know, you could use like a 6480, CalStar 6480, and that's a good all-around rod that can do both. You can yo-yo fish with it. When you're first starting out surface iron fishing, I wouldn't get carried away with I wouldn't instantly go to a 9 or a 10-foot rod. I would start with an 8-foot rod, get comfortable with that, and then slowly work your way up to the longer ones. So, yeah, you can use the same rod. There's only a few of them that would work. Most of the time when I yo-yo fish, it's with a 7-foot rod. But if you're looking for an all-arounder, I would recommend something like a 6480 or something similar to that.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Hey, and thanks a lot for the call this morning. And we have a text along the same lines from John in North County. And he says, Ryan, years ago there were a few guys wired their surface irons. And have you seen that lately? I mean, I know Dart used to wire his surface iron, right?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, that was kind of back in the days where there wasn't as many surface iron options as there is now. So if you had a few surface irons, you had to make them swim. And a lot of times, not a lot of times, but sometimes you'll have a really good jig, but it just jumps out of the water. You know, Taddy 45 will just jump out of the water sometimes, but it's a really good swimming jig. If you wire them up, they'll stay down in the water. And they do swim.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of jigs, especially like the smaller and medium-sized surface irons, that I think they swim better if they're wired.
If you wire them.
Yeah.
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 You get the, like, and it's, we're talking about single wire, like single strand wire.
Oh, yeah.
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 And so you use those little bullets to
that'll
to
help
wire
you do
them
the
up,
haywire
help
twist.
The haywire
yeah.
twist, the little haywire assist twist. Assister.
The assister, yeah. Yep.
Do you sell those kinds of things at Fisherman's Landing?
We do.
The
I mean,
bullet things?
You know, obviously, I mean, we do. We sell the haywire twist tools. I'm still certain that it's more difficult to learn how to use the tool than it is to just twist the wire with a pair of needle nose. Like, I think it's like anything. You know how to do something the way you were taught. And back in the day, we used to do so many Wahoo bombs with single strand wire. Like, that was the deal. And when I was in high school, at the summertime job working at the tackle store, we used to twist haywire twists for Wahoo bomb. Like, that was my gig for 8 hours a day. You know, we were twisting up leaders.
Yeah.
So it's just for me, but I think it's so much easier to use a pair of needle nose than it is the twist tools. With that said, we definitely do carry them. And
I like that little bullet. I've used that little bullet a lot. And once you figure it out, which is that's the challenge.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
I'm sure, you know, it's just like anything. You get comfortable with the way you learn to do it. And, but yes, we sell those tools, wire straight. You know, I mean, we do a lot of wire for other things, you know, wahoo fishing and things like that. But, I mean, the same thing certainly applies to surface iron fishing. We carry single-strand wire in every size and titanium wire, twists for people who want to twist, crimps for people who want to crimp, and we got it all.
Try it, yeah, right? Totally. Why not? Might happen, right?
Yep.
Sure not going to hurt your game.
Yeah. All right, let's jump back in the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Chuck. Chuck's calling us from Long Beach this morning. Hi, Chuck. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hope everyone's having a great day.
For sure.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, good morning. Morning, yeah. Chuck. So, Ryan, thank you.
Yeah. Question I got is, you talked about what to make you successful. What do you see people do wrong that you think should be corrected more often than not? Is it like not pulling too hard, drag knot set correctly, better knots, hook selection? Yeah.
That's something I do see quite a bit on the boat is, you know, we lose more fish on the San Diego due to too loose of drag than we do too tight of drag. I would tell people to grab their rods and reels and get familiar with how hard you can pull on your setups. Even like yesterday, we had a yellowtail hooked late in the day and it was hooked on 20 pound. The guy was so afraid to pull on it that a sea lion eventually ate his yellowtail. And yeah, 20 pounds sounds light to a lot of people, but I challenge you to get your 20-pound rod, tie it off to your truck, and walk away from it 100 yards or whatever and pull on it. If nothing goes wrong, if there's not a nick or something like that, you can pull extremely hard on 20-pound,
yeah.
You know, especially 40-pound. Most guys fish too light of a drag, we see. And we lose way more fish to too light of a
drag.
And
when you're fishing the Coronado Islands, that sea lion is right there.
The sea lion's right there, and it's just, you know, even when you're offshore, like fishing bluefin, the longer the hook is in the fish, your odds are just going down of the hook pulling. You know, usually if you have a fish on over an hour, you know, the odds aren't good that you're going to land it.
Not good.
Yeah.
Especially bluefin, they're going to chew through something.
Bluefin do some weird stuff. They swim upright next to the boat. They chew through. A lot of pulled hooks with bluefin. A lot of, you know, people getting bit off. And so you just want to have it on the line for the least amount of time possible.
Yeah.
And that comes at a tight drag.
Anybody that's fishing a medium to relatively heavy amount of drag pressure, I would bet the majority of people will be shocked if you put that thing on a scale and saw how few pounds that really is. You know, like people talk about things all the time and, you know, 20 pounds of drag pressure and 25 pounds. Like if you ever held on to the reel with 25 pounds of drag pressure coming off, it would blow your mind. You think, well, there's just no way. You know, I mean, a lot of the fishing that you're doing with relatively lighter line is 8 pounds and 10 pounds and
One of the things that's been cool the last couple of years with these big bluefin around is, you know, we see passengers ask for assistance from the deckhands. It's just, you know, they're big fish and they hand the rod to the crew to let the crew finish the fish. Pay attention to how these deckhands are pulling on these fish. You know, especially the long range guys that are used to pulling on big fish. Watch how hard these kids pull.
Totally.
They pull like gorillas. I mean, they are super tight.
Oh, yeah.
Usually the first thing they do is tighten your drag.
A lot of times a bunch. Yeah,
like way tighter than you were just using. Watch the crew. Watch how they do it. You can learn so much from these kids. They're really good at it.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said, too, about, you know, if the hook winds up in the wrong spot. Like if everything goes right and you're fishing an appropriate size hook, an appropriate size line, other than getting into a tangle or rubbing your line on the boat, it's difficult to lose that if it's hooked on appropriate tackle. And you can pull, like you said, you can pull three times harder than you want. And if the hook's in the wrong spot, it's going to go away at some point anyway. So you're just better off. You're better off ending that bad scenario right off the bat. And if you just pull, like hell, those things, they just come in a lot easier, especially bluefins. It seems like if you put a lot of heat on one of those things, regardless of the size, most of the time you can end that whole thing in relatively short order.
Yeah, you can break their will. Yeah,
yeah.
You can get them.
Good advice. So, tight drag.
Very tight.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. You know, a lot of reference to your social media, and you're really good about posting social media. And as an old guy, I want to thank you for also posting on Facebook as well as Instagram.
Yes.
I mean, there is that contingency of old people like me that look at Facebook rather than Instagram.
Yeah.
And so that you're there. You're at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So, and you post pretty much daily, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we try to. Some days we might get in really late and we miss a day or two, but we usually post our fish count there daily, and tackle tips and other stuff like that. You can also call the guys at the landing. They can tell you what's been going on and give you really good tackle tips as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Well, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it. Let's going to talk to Rich. Rich is calling us from Bradley this morning. Hi, Rich. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. You started out the show with your recommendations for gear to take on a one-day trip on the San Diego, and you mentioned from 25 to 100-pound test. And in years past, I've seen one-day trips suddenly shift gears to fish and bass, and if you didn't have 12 to 20-pound, you were kind of out of the loop and kind of wishing you had it with you. So I'm wondering, is that completely out of the picture now? And what do you think about having that one more piece in your arsenal when you get on the San Diego nowadays?
Yeah, when we're fishing the Coronado Islands, it's nice to bring a 15 or 20-pound bass outfit. They're just starting to bite a little bit down there. We like to catch them on plastics a lot down there. Pretty much all the yellowtail spots that we start anchoring up as the water warms up, they also have calico bass there. So, yeah, you can certainly bring it. What, not necessary, because when the calico bass really start biting good down there, you'll catch them on that 25-pound fly line outfit really good, too. You know, just fly line and sardines.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you have a bass outfit and you want to bring it, certainly bring it. Can't
All right.
hurt. Yeah.
There you go. Are you seeing some bass at the Coronado Islands?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It was better a week ago. They're just starting to get active. They're funny down there. You know, they're just little periods throughout the year where they're active. They're always there. We see them as we drive around the reefs and ridges and stuff, but they're just not active all the time.
How's the kelp? I mean, is the kelp coming back down there?
There's not much kelp. There's South Kelp Ridge below South Island, there is some, but, you know, when I was a kid, there was kelp everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
It's not like that anymore.
I think Tijuana River had a lot to do with that,
Something.
I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but there's not... The only place there's kelp really is below South Island.
I remember in Lover's Cove when I was a kid, you used to go in there, it was just thick with kelp, right?
On
that middle rock there.
Yeah, I first started driving the Mission Bell down there, I remember there was kelp like under the light, which is on the weather side of South Island. The whole back side of South Island was kelp, and it just kind of comes and goes. You know, we saw a little bit a couple years ago. Right now, it doesn't look like there's too much around.
Yeah, but you don't see those big, lush kelp beds coming back in recent years.
No.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, we have Pep Tucker, a scientist, I guess, to find out why.
Yeah, see what's going on with that.
Yeah.
But you know how kelp grows, though. I mean, you flash forward a few years of cold water years, it'd probably blow everybody away that it just, it's such
it's
a resilient thing, you know, and we've had hot water the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have.
It's been hot, but the one thing about that plant is
speaking of soft plastics, Brian.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, and stuff coming back, have you seen much action on the twin tail type scampi lures, or is it pretty much switched over to swim bait style and slugs like Corey makes?
We see action on all types of tails down there. They have paddle tail, twin tail, both. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
We had a fun text come through. It says, good morning, guys. Question for Captain Ryan. What and when drives their decision to fish offshore for tuna? Is it because yellowtail are slow at the island? Is it just proximity, availability? And lastly, how far offshore can you go on a full-day trip? That's from Mike in Oceanside.
Good question, Mike. A lot of people ask me that question. When do you decide to go offshore? And there's a lot of things that go into that decision. Most importantly, we need to go out there when we can consistently catch, when I feel that we can consistently catch fish. we could probably go out there right now and catch one or two or five, or maybe have a good day once every 2 weeks. That's not going to cut it for a boat that goes out there every day.
Right.
We need...
And with 32 passengers.
Right, right. We need to go out there when I feel we can consistently provide entertainment for our people.
Yeah.
And that comes from just doing our homework, talking to, you know, skiff guys, talking to long range guys, to everyone, studying water charts, spotter pilots, just trying to gather up as much information as we can. It certainly helps our decision when the Coronado Islands have gotten slow. You know, if the Coronado Islands have gotten really slow and we're not seeing much yellowtail, it makes that decision a lot easier.
Do you have a personal preference just as a fisherman? Like if you thought you could make an appropriate catch offshore for bluefin and an appropriate catch for yellowtail, do you have a personal preference that you like fishing for?
Me personally, I'd rather fish the islands for yellowtail. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy the bluefin thing and the tuna thing, but me personally, I love yellowtail.
Well, you're Mr. Coronado Islands, man. Of course.
I'd rather fish there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's and I do, too. I love it there. When it's biting and there's yellowtail around, it's so much fun.
It is.
Such a great place to fish. Speaking of which, the price difference. So you're fishing the Coronado Islands. You have a lot of permit issues there, a lot of money paid to the government.
Yeah.
What's the difference in price? Versus you're burning more fuel offshore. What's the difference in price on the San Diego when you're fishing the Coronado Islands versus when you're fishing offshore?
So to the passengers, the price difference doesn't really affect them. You know, we're $200 right now, no matter where we fish. Starting June 1st, we're going to go up to $225, no matter where we fish.
Okay.
The difference is for the owner. When we fish the Coronado Islands, there's a crazy amount of permit money.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's almost $40 a person now.
Yeah, I think it's more than that.
Is it more than that?
I think it's $35 a person for the visa.
Oh, it's gone up then.
Yeah, and then $15 for the fishing license, and then $5 for the bracelet. So, yeah, it's a lot of money. That just comes out of the ticket fare and gets sent straight to Mexico.
Yeah.
But... we need to look at the bright side.
But you're again, though, that is an all-inclusive price. Like the
right.
You know, the customer doesn't, you know, it's the same no matter what. You're just taking that hit.
Yes, the owner's taking that hit. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
So, and when we go offshore, we just don't have to buy the visa. We don't have to buy the FMM travel visa.
Just the fishing license.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but you're burning a lot more fuel.
We're burning more fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of both kind of balance out.
Yes, that's true. At least we get to fish there, though. It's a lot of money.
Oh, heck yeah.
Got it, buddy.
It's better than the alternative.
Yeah. In fact, discussing Guadalupe with Frank yesterday, there's going to be more. We're going to go. Their permits are issued, but there's going to be more fees. So just be ready for that. But Frank asked me, would he pay it?
Absolutely.
To be able to go fish a biosphere like the Guadalupe or biosphere like the Coronado Islands, you know, it's pretty awesome.
Would you rather pay less? Of course. But is that going to stop you from going? Not one time ever. Yeah. That's what we do.
You know,
that's what we do, and we get an opportunity to fish in these awesome spots. Like, that's just part of the deal.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump back in the phones.
Brandon in Long Beach has been hanging in there a long time with us. Brandon, thanks for hanging, and welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just had a quick question. If you guys are fishing a, 25-pound class yellowtail, is 20-pound test too light for a fly line, or do you think you should go a little heavier?
I would go a little heavier. It kind of depends where you're fishing them. You know, if you're going to fish them, you know, on a sandy beach somewhere, 20-pound would probably be just fine. I like 25-pound, you know, or even 30-pound.
Yeah. You know, one thing I've really gotten used to and liking to, especially because I like to fish a Power Pro and then a 12-foot top shot of fluorocarbon, is that Fluoro Premier from
Seaguar.
Yeah, yeah, that stuff is the gold. Oh, excuse me, not Fluoro Premier, but Gold Label.
Mm-hmm.
The Gold Label, because that 30-pound is like the size of like 20-pound,
skinny.
Right?
Yeah,
it's skinny, but it's tough. It's strong.
Wow.
So. And you can pull really hard on that 30-pound
I was very skeptical of that line.
Yes.
Anytime something is smaller diameter, I'm a lesser of a believer in it. We took that to Guadeloupe last year and fished, or the year previous now, and fished 40 pound down there. Mm-hmm. And we had multiple fish that were like 75 up to 140 pounds on 40 pound.
Wow.
And we got lucky enough to get to do a trip with several of the guys from the tackle store. And fishing was good enough that we could, if you lost one, it wasn't the end of the deal. We were hooking fish on 40 pound and like passing the rod back and forth. Like, let's see how hard we could pull on this. Dude, we didn't lose this. I mean, obviously, everything can has happened. Yeah, that is really good.
Yeah, because it's like the diameter, it's like 25% thinner, so that would be the diameter like 30-pound, 40-pound.
Fishing 40-pound gold label, you feel like you're fishing a piece of 25 or 30-pound mono. That's pretty damn strong stuff. It's really good. I like it.
Definitely. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky anglers going fishing on the San Diego with two free passes. You stay tuned. There's more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting Van Wormer Resorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know. Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Captain Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. Celia and I would like to thank all of our great customers for helping celebrate Searcher's 50th anniversary. Our 2021 schedule is available now with more limited load trips. The Searcher has a great crew, fantastic food, a family atmosphere to make your fishing adventure complete. Book your trip online at SearcherSportFishing.com. That's SearcherSportFishing.com. Or call Celia at 619-226-2403.
Give your boat the love it deserves and install a custom sea deck kit from Blue Seas Fabrication. Blue Seas is the West Coast's only certified sea deck fabricator and installer. Sea deck upgrades the look and feel of any boat, old or new. Sea deck non-skid decking adds comfort, convenience, safety, and value. But the experts from Blue Seas Fabrication custom fit your deck, bridge, and interior with stylish, durable, stain-resistant, and easy-to-clean sea deck. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com and enhance your fishing experience.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, the big winner going fishing on board the San Diego with two passes is going to Josh in Menifee. Josh, congratulations. You are going to have a great time on the San Diego.
You know, never enough time, and it's been way too long since we had you in here, Captain Ryan Bosch in San Diego, and Mr. Yellowtail himself. And so where are you going tomorrow?
Tomorrow, what do you mean?
I'm of San Diego.
Oh, we'll be at the Coronado Island.
No. Okay.
Going fishing somewhere.
Yeah. As Dave Hansen would say, who's going to follow you, right?
Yeah. We're still at the Coronado Islands, keeping close tabs on the offshore thing.
Yeah.
When we make the switch.
Looks like great weather this week, too.
Yeah, so. Supposed to be. Yeah. Nice. I would, we're just in that transition time, like people have talked about here on the air. It's going to get going here shortly.
Yeah, it's any day now that yellowtail could start to bite, and we could see 100 on the boat tomorrow.
It could happen today.
Yeah,
it could.
So if somebody wants to climb aboard the San Diego, how do we do it?
Call Seaforth at 619-224-3383. The guys at the office there will set you up. You definitely want to make reservations, because with the limited load thing, a lot of trips have been selling out. Or you can get on the boat's website, www.thesandiego.com, make reservations right through there. or the landings website, seaforthlanding.com.
Yeah. It's the easiest way to do it, right? Yeah. Right online. But you need to make a reservation because the boat pretty much always sells out.
Yeah.
And you're only limited to
34.
34 people now, 34 max.
People. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's a big boat for 34
it's
people.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And bring your, if you don't have your own tackle, you can rent it right there at Seaforth.
Yeah. Seaforth has wonderful rental gear. They have 2-speed reels with a big bluefin. They have the 25-pound outfits.
Great tackle store right there run by Dan Hart. Yeah, he does a great job. So, yeah, fantastic. All right, Brian, thanks a lot for coming today. And thank you for listening today. Sure appreciate all your phone calls, all your texts. Very grateful for that. And, of course, very grateful for Andrew, who manning the phones. And, of course, Adam manning the app. We sure appreciate what you guys do. Next Saturday and Sunday, a couple great shows. I'll be down in Loretto at a Loretto Rumble. But Ricky will be here with Captain Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser from the Independence and 22nd Street Landing on Saturday. Next Sunday, Captain Fred Huber from the Daily Double will be here. That's a couple of great shows next Saturday and Sunday. And we'll see you right back here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app.